All right, you can turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2 this morning. Malachi chapter 2. As we're moving along in this minor prophet book, Malachi is one of the easier ones to find, as you just find Matthew and you just go one back, but some of the those other ones, like Haggai or something, takes a while to find it. Malachi 2. 1 through 9. I'm going to read that passage as we begin our time together. And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you. I'll curse your blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your offspring and spread dung on your faces. The dung of your offerings, and you shall be taken away with it. So shall you know that I have sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. It was a covenant of fear, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and he turned many from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have turned aside from the way. You have caused many to stumble by your instruction. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, said the Lord of hosts. And so I make you despised and abased before all the people, inasmuch as you do not keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. A strong warning, as you can kind of tell as I read through that, you can tell it was definitely a strong warning by God to the priests. But in the first chapter of Malachi, we learn that God loves Israel, and he has shown that he always has. And he has allowed Israel to return to the land and start to rebuild their ruins, while Edom will never be able to rebuild their ruins. Next, he went after the people and priests for their unacceptable sacrifices, how they brought imperfect sacrifices, and they thought that was okay to give to God, and he's not going to accept those sacrifices because it's not what he prescribed, it's not what he desires, and how they were half-hearted in their worship, and that's what we just learned. But we also now find that they're unfaithful in their teaching. So not only are they lacking in their duties of sacrificing animals to God, but they're lacking in their duties of teaching the people. So God is just going after the priests here and for their unfaithfulness in teaching. And no one likes to be strongly warned, especially when it comes to your job or your future. There's a times when a child is strongly warned by their parent. There are times when we're warned maybe by the government or by a company asking for money that we owe, you know, that notice that comes in and it's like, oh, they're definitely a strong warning. Like, if you don't pay up, this is going to happen. Or you don't do this, this will happen. When an employee is doing bad at his occupation, he usually gets a strong warning by his boss. And a lot of times it's in a warning letter. And the warning letter will explain the issue, what are you doing wrong, but also give warnings of what's going to happen if you don't straighten up, if you don't get your act together. And it would mean a lot for the employee's future at the company. And typically the strong warning letter helps to kind of curb the employee's performance so that he does start correcting himself and do well at his job and change. But others don't. Others don't change, and there's consequences. They lose their job. Or maybe they're demoted. But ideally, if you think about it, a strong warning is not meant to be mean. In actuality, a strong warning is meant to be loving. I'm loving if I want to warn you so that you can have your job or warn you so that you don't go down this road. If I'm not loving, I'm not going to say a word. You know, I don't care because the consequences are going to come raining down upon you. See, the purpose of warning is correction. And a strong warning shows how serious it is that you do rectify the situation, that you do correct what's wrong. And this passage is kind of like God's strong warning letter to the priests. And it's not going to be very fun for them to read. So let's see what their warning letter says. It says first, it's not working right. Something's wrong. But take your position seriously. Take your position seriously. This is a common saying to a worker. You know, some people just don't take their job seriously. They don't see the seriousness of their job. Maybe their job is to deliver newspapers, and they just keep throwing it at the wrong house, or they throw it in the mud puddle every day. It's like they don't take it seriously. Or maybe someone works at a nuclear power plant and they don't take it seriously. I think we'd be all pretty scared because it's a serious job. And God tells a priest, take your job seriously. He says, you're not honoring the Lord. In verse 1, God calls out the priest directly. You know what? When God calls you out directly, that's a big deal. Imagine if he said you by name, Matt Brown, or pastor at First Baptist Church. I think we'd all pretty listen up if that was us. But you see in verse 2, God starts to give the warning. He says, if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, then I will send a curse. So the statement, it's trying to get them on the right path. He's giving them chances. It's like, you can get on the right path. He wants them to listen. He wants them to take it to heart. And this honor kind of reflects back to what we already learned, where God says, where is my honor? Where is my honor? And he showed them that you're not honoring me in your sacrificial duties. And they kept questioning God and doubting his love. But notice that in these verses, God shows us he's a God of second chances. Although the priests were failing, he's giving them another opportunity to make things right. So they should be listening to God, but they aren't. That word listen, it kind of reminds you of the Shema back in Deuteronomy. It entailed, like, hear, O Israel, the God, our Lord, our God is one. Well, the word listening, it entails hearing, but also understanding and obeying. So I not only hear it, but I obey it. And the fact is, they weren't currently listening and obeying. Why weren't they? It goes back to what we learned. They only cared about themselves. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about what he wanted. They sought the easy way out. And in doing so, they're not honoring the Lord. You know, in order to honor the Lord, we have to listen. We have to obey. We have to take it to heart. We have to do it. And God shows them that there will be consequences, as you will be rebuked. So he's not going to let disobedience and ignorance go. He can't. As we learned, he deserves all the honor and all the respect because he's the great God. So he can't just let sin slide. There has to be consequences, especially when it's such an important job. As stated in the law, there's covenant curses for disobedience, for not upholding their side of the covenant and unfaithfulness. And the Lord clearly declared that this is going to happen if you disobey. This will happen if you obey. There will be blessings, but there will be curses when you disobey, Israel. And in that way, the curses are legitimate. The curses are deserved. God is just in sending them upon Israel because they were in disobedience. But God is giving them a chance to turn from their sin. He's saying, yeah, I'm going to send a curse, but here's your chance. Here's your chance to straighten up. What else do they need? They're given plenty of chances. You see, the priests had this privileged position in the nation. All the blessings that came to the priest because of their position would be affected. So their office, their functions, their rewards would be impacted. In fact, God says they're already being impacted because of your disobedience. So he says first that their offspring will be rebuked as God would cut off their family line. You see, your family line back then, especially back then, was a big deal. And especially if you're in the priestly line. So God is saying the priesthood is going to be taken away from you and your family. They're going to be humiliated by God. God is going to spread dung on their faces. It's a disgusting image, really. But that's God's way of saying you're going to be humiliated. And by having this dung on their face, they're going to be deemed unfit for office because they're unclean. And the dung of the offerings was taken out and burned, and so God is saying the priest would be taken with it and discarded. So they're going to be utterly humiliated, they're going to be deemed unfit for office, and their position is just going to be taken away from them, away from the sanctuary of God. And so what it comes down to is that you will know why this is happening. Israel's going to know, if they continue down this path, they're going to know what's going on. They're going to know that these are the curses brought on upon themselves for what they're doing. You see, it was all for correction and discipline. God desired them to repent, to return to obedience, and he wants to just shake them out of complacency. And ultimately, really, God wanted the covenant with Levi to stand. He wanted it to continue on. So God is telling them, I want you to continue in your job. I really do. But not the way it is going now. And if it continues like this, there's going to be severe consequences. And this whole section just shows God's disgust for what they're doing. Take your position seriously. You see, God sees everything. I mean, they couldn't get by without God seeing it. He sees your neglect of your duties. And if you think you can dishonor God, even in your privileged position, think again. Because God doesn't take it lightly. He's going to bring shame upon you. You see, they were dishonoring God, and God is going to bring that dishonor upon themselves. And a critical application for us is that we need to remember that we have a privileged position as people who teach others the Bible. We're handling God's precious word, and that's a big deal. But do we take that position of having his word and being able to teach it to others, do we take it lightly or do we take it seriously? You see, we can't expect these amazing blessings when we're directly disobeying God. And the next section of the warning letter shows them the way it should be done. Verses 5 through 7, the way it should be done. So God gives positive examples to kind of spur them on to obedience. And so when we warn someone of doing their job wrong, one essential way is to help them get better is show them good examples of what to do. A lot of times nowadays, this kind of thing is shown in instructional videos. You know, the videos that, you know, each employee, when they come on board, they have to watch these instructional videos. And the videos are usually from the 80s or 90s, and they're kind of awkward, you know, and So you're just watching this video, and you're like, all right. But in the video, it shows a person doing your job the correct way, the safe way, or they show ways like, do not do this, you know, what this person's doing. But they're trying to show this is a model, an example of what you should be doing. And that's kind of what God is doing. He's giving this positive example of what you should be doing. And he says, look at those before you. One key to doing our duties well is to look at those before us who are positive examples in that position. Think about how that's helpful for me at times, to think of previous pastors who were faithful in the word and did their job well. And it kind of helps me to go on in faithfulness too. And for the priests, they could look back at the tribe of Levi and they could see these good models of steadfastness to the Lord. And Levi is symbolic for the whole institution of the priesthood. So God's pointing out Levi because he made that covenant with him. But really, he's talking about the whole collective of good priests in the tribe of Levi and follows. And so that's why it kind of sounds like he's talking about just one guy, but really he's talking about the collective whole who are doing well in their priestly job. So the tribe of Levi feared God. They stood in awe of his name. And really they had the right attitude toward God, toward their position. And in response to that right demeanor, God says, I gave them life and peace. So really, God blessed them. They were able to continue on. They were able to have peace between them and God, between others. And really, the previous priest's conduct, it shamed the current day priests. It's saying, look at how well your ancestors, the priests, were doing, and look what you're doing. It doesn't match up. See, they realize the greatness of God while you don't. But they also taught true instruction. So the priest had this critical role in instructing the people of God in the word. And since they stayed so close to the word, God could say there was nothing wrong that came out of their mouth. Because they're staying so close to the word of God. And so their example, their positive example, wasn't just seen in their attitude and instruction, but it was also seen in their godly life. They walked with God in peace and righteousness. And all because of this, their ministry had results. They helped turn many people from sin. What an example for us. Imagine if every teacher of God had these characteristics, where they feared God, taught according to God's word, and lived a godly life. What would be the result? We see it here. Many people would turn from sin. I think many people would be discipled and growing and turning away from their evil practices. But imagine a teacher of God not having one of these. Maybe they had two of them, but they didn't have the other one. If they didn't live a godly life, their teaching would be stunted. If they taught inaccurately, they'd be straying from the truth that changes people's lives. And if they didn't fear the Lord, they would not be faithful. So look at the priest before you, but also look at your duties. It's kind of like God is bringing out their job description and just kind of reading it to them. And they had this obligation to guard and preserve knowledge. So what they're supposed to do is teach the truth. And if any error crept in, they're supposed to expel it. Like, all right, this doesn't belong here. It's not what God has said. And since the people would seek out the priest for instruction, they were this messenger of God. So their dedication to guarding knowledge was crucial. Because the people went to them to find the truth. And the truth is, the more you see the greatness of God, the more you will value His Word. The more you see the greatness of God, the more you will value His Word. So what does that say about the priests of this day, of that day? They looked down on God. They didn't care. But His Word is worth preserving. It's worth dispensing accurately, all because I am a messenger of God. So I don't create my own message, but I receive and I stay true to the message that's given to me. The more important the speaker is, the more determined we are to stay true to the message. So think about it like this. If your little annoying brother wanted you to give a message to your other younger brother, your dedication to stay true to that message probably wouldn't be super strong. You know, you probably maybe twist some things, and because it's your little annoying brother. But imagine if you lived in the day of kings and you were the king's messenger, how true and accurate would you stay to that message? You would stay extremely accurate, because what would happen? Your head would be gone, right? If you messed up. Because the king told you. So how much more the king of the universe? And we're messengers of him. And the king of the universe has given us an infallible message. How much more should we stay true to it? And speak it accurately. You see, the last point in God's warning letter to Israel is, you're doing it all wrong. You're just doing it all wrong. Let's say someone worked at a golf course and they mowed grass. And the guy was being neglectful and he put the blade way too low, and so he was just doing damage to the grass. All of a sudden his boss sees him and he's shocked at what he sees, and he's saying, "You're doing it all wrong." And he explained in much detail how he's causing so much damage to the grass. And that's sort of what God is doing to the priest. He's like, this is what you're doing wrong. You're doing it all wrong. And he shows them exactly, this is what you're doing wrong. This is how you're failing as priests. There are some times when we hear that we're doing a bad job, but we don't really know what we're doing wrong. Well, that's not for Israel. They knew exactly. God is showing them, this is what you're doing wrong. He says, you have caused damage. Remember that good example I described? You're not doing that. You're a bad example. He says, you have turned aside from the way. You have deliberately turned from the Lord and His Word. So it wasn't that they were incompetent. It was that they were deliberately straying from the truth. So there's a certain way that the priest should have been living, should have been teaching, and they're not doing it. All they had to do was stay on the route God gave them. Just stay on that route. But they desired to go off on their own way. And as a result, many people stumbled. And they're corrupting the covenant of Levi. Now that's some serious ramifications. Instead of leading many people to turn from sin, they're leading people into sin. That's a big deal. To lead someone into sin. To make people stumble. The priests were the messengers of God's word. They were responsible to teach it to the people. And instead of using it to lead others to life, they led others to destruction. And their disregard for God's word didn't just affect one person, it affected the whole community. That's a big deal, and God doesn't take that lightly. And they're corrupting and ruining the covenant of Levi. And so even though they're spoiling this covenant, God is going to hold up his end. The covenant wouldn't dissolve, but the priest could forfeit their position within it. And as we find out in verse 9, they're showing partiality to people. So they could be telling people what they want to hear so that they'll like them. Or maybe they're teaching certain things in order to get something out of it, maybe material gain or different things. But they're showing partiality in their teaching. And does that sound familiar? How often do we hear of preachers doing that, saying what people want to hear instead of what God's word has said? And they're corrupting their position. So what's the punishment? For all this disregard of God's word, the punishment is that you have caused damage, so you will be damaged. Instead of receiving life and peace, they're going to be despised. They're going to be humiliated by the people. And I believe he would do this by the covenant curses that he just talked about, how he's going to deem them unfit for office. He's going to take them out of their position and just humiliate them. You see, you know, you're in the priestly line, and so, you know, you're supposed to be a priest, and now you're going to be taken from your position. That's pretty humiliating when other people see that. And really, what this all comes down to is that we must take the responsibility of handling God's word seriously. We have to. God has a strong warning for all those who teach others the Bible, because it's not a light matter to dispense God's truth to people. In one sense, we're all responsible to talk about Scripture with others. You can teach your kids. Teach a Sunday school class. You may be talking about God's word or truth with friends, with someone that you meet. And so we should be responsible with his word. But on the other hand, there's others who teach the Bible regularly. Whenever we instruct other people, we have to take it seriously, because we're messengers of God, and we need to stay true to the message. So we need to listen and obey, and in it we find life and peace. We remember our responsibilities, that we are to guard the truth. We fear God. We teach it accurately. We live a godly life. We guard his truth. You see, understand that whenever you stray from God's word, there are problems. Because our teaching can lead other people into sin. And that's a matter of grave concern. The priests, they claim the privilege of the covenant, yet they neglected the conditions of it, all the while expecting all these blessings to come upon them in their disobedience. But they didn't recognize that the failure to honor the Lord brings dishonor upon yourself. So you can't expect good fruit. You can't expect blessings to come when you're teaching what is false. God doesn't condone that. But the thing is, not handling God's word correctly is easy. It really is. It's eye-catching at times. It rewards you temporarily, as people may like you more, or that you might see some of this upfront success, but that success isn't the kind of success that you want. It isn't real, it isn't genuine, it's artificial. It's success in man's eyes and not God's. So you may get more people to listen to you, but you aren't changing lives. Rather, you're leading lives down the wrong path. And the lasting fruit that you're bringing upon yourself is damaged lives and dishonor. Staying true to God's word is hard. It takes effort. It takes time to really dive in and study what is really God saying. But the rewards are great. The rewards are changed life, change lives. And the good thing is we aren't left on our own. God gives grace. And He has given us the best example in Jesus Christ. Look to Jesus, who was the Word and handled the Word well. He spoke it accurately. He guarded it passionately, and He taught it faithfully. Look to Him. You see, the more you see the greatness of God, the more you see the value of His Word. The more you see the value of His Word, the more faithful you will be as a teacher. And the more faithful you are as a teacher, the more impactful your teaching will be. So do you take the handling of God's Word seriously? Even for yourself in your devotional life. Do you get it right? Do you seek out what is God saying? Or you just handle it flippantly? So whether you preach, you teach a Sunday school class, you teach your children, or you talk with friends about it, may we hold fast to Scripture like the precious, powerful, and transforming Word that it is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we would handle Your Word correctly, that we would stay true to it, that we would guard it. When any attacks come upon it, may we stand up to that false teaching. Because we know it comes from You, the great God, the great King, the Lord of hosts. We see the value in it, that it changes people's lives. And it doesn't lead us into sin, it leads us out of it. So may we stay true to it this week. In Jesus' name, amen.